Let's begin.
This is Game Time with Nick Baugh.
It's time! It's time, sports fans!
Talking Huskers.
Touchdown, Huskers!
Blue Jays.
It's yes! So good! Jays!
Sports and more for you from 11 to 2.
As we proceed to give you what you need.
On 1620 The Zone, Zone app, and 1620thezone.com. Live from the Nissan of Omaha studio, here's Nick Baugh.
It is a hump day, and I'm fired up to be in. Last show of the week until yours truly and Josh Peterson will be on for Big Red Overreaction after the Iowa game. So that means we got a lot of things to take care of today, including my Nebraska-Iowa prediction. Man, I had a tough time making this one. Should have come with a shot of whiskey. My word. We're going to be football heavy today. But if you don't mind, I'd like to put a bow on what we saw last night in Kansas City with Creighton and Baylor. So there's a saying in basketball that, and it's kind of a, it spills into life, right? Focus on what you can control. That's what, put all your effort and energy into what you can control. And one of the things that you kind of can't control in basketball is making and missing shots. Some nights shots are going to fall. You're going to shoot it great. You're going to be hot. Some nights you're going to be ice cold, can't throw it in the ocean. So because of that, you got to focus on the things that you can't control. Defense, communication, effort, energy, rebounding, sharing the ball. All those things are 100% in your control. And to me, I thought Creighton did all those things at a winning level last night. I thought for about 35 minutes of that game, their defense, rebounding, energy, effort, communication, all was good enough to win. Creighton just had a brutally bad shooting night. And when you see 40 minutes of zone, it's tough to survive a horrific night from three. And it was a horrific night from three for Creighton. Creighton finished 5 of 30 from 3 last night, and the fifth made 3 of the game was an inconsequential one with about 10 seconds left for Mitch Balick. But of those 29 33s that were taken last night, I'd say 23, 24 of those threes were good, in rhythm, wide open threes with your best shooters toeing the arc, and they just missed them. I mean, going into that game, if you'd have told me Creighton would shoot 34% from the field, be 5 of 30 from 3, I would have thought Creighton got beat kind of bad. But they actually were in total control of the game and led almost 80% of the game. They led for 31 minutes and 48 seconds of that basketball game. Creighton actually had a couple of chances in that first half, I felt like, to kind of put Baylor away and really put themselves in the driver's seat and go up 16, 18 points, and they just missed layups and wide-open threes. And they let Baylor just hang around, and they just could never get enough shots to fall, in particular in the second half, and also couldn't get in transition and get their pace going in the second half as well. Couple of things. Creighton's zone offense. I thought it was okay. It was good. I didn't think it was great. I thought they did a much better job of driving the ball into the paint, getting into the middle of the lane in the first half than they did in the second half. But they still got pretty wide open, clean looks that just didn't go down. In basketball, it's kind of like coaches are more into getting good shots and having good possessions rather than necessarily just focus on making shots. You can have a great possession that ends in a wide open look that you just miss, and you can also have a bad possession that ends in a tough shot going in. And I'm here to tell you that every coach in America will take the good possessions over the course of time 100 times out of 100. And I thought, for the most part, Creighton had good looks. They just missed easy shots. I mean, Ronnie Harrell missed about, you know, 5 or 6 8-footers. Martin Crumple fumbled a few right at the rim. And again, they went 5 of 30 from 3. And so I saw, you know, oh, Mac didn't make adjustments to that. It's like, okay, well then, what if Creighton shoots just okay from 3? Now all of a sudden, he's a genius? It's like, eh. And I thought it was a tough night for Coach McDermott's rotation and subs. And I get, you know, I felt like Coach Mack needed to find more minutes for Mitch Ballack. He only played 14 minutes last night. But it was kind of hard to try to view it from his standpoint. It was hard last night considering the matchup. Because to play Mitch Ballack either means you got to probably take Marcus Foster or Khyree Thomas off the floor. Or you play small ball and put him at the four. And with how Baylor's built, with their front line being so long and athletic, and they have two traditional bigs that they like to post up, it was going to be hard for Ballack to survive defensively at the four. And when they tried that lineup, they weren't getting enough out of it offensively to justify the struggles defensively with him on the floor. So you kind of had to stick with Ronnie out there, which I understood. That could Greg McDermott maybe have gone, maybe have taken Foster, one of those guys, off the floor for a little bit and put Ballack in there? Or could you have maybe taken one of the, you know, put Khyree at the point and put all three of those wings on the floor? Or maybe even tried the big lineup again with Crumple and Suarez? Maybe. But that's kind of why Baylor's a tough matchup for Creighton. Pace is always big for Creighton, and when you play Baylor, they have a way of slowing it down. They have long, drawn-out offensive possessions offensively that eat clock. Then they go sit in a zone for 40 minutes, which forces you sometimes to have longer possessions offensively, so you just end up with a low possession game. And that zone is tough. And Creighton struggles with zones at times. They're obviously much better against a man-man when they can get loose and get in there in the open floor. But and even with all that said, if Creighton just shoots it okay from three, not even good, if they just shoot it okay, let's say they go 10 for 30 or 11 for 30, Creighton wins that game by double digits. But that didn't happen. Ifs and buts, candies and nuts. I mean, that's how the cookie crumbles there. Regardless of last night, it's a long season. I think sometimes fans got to get themselves out of football mode. Like college football mode, every loss is a huge deal. It's not like that in college basketball, guys. You lose one game, it's not the end of the world. And I know last night was frustrating, but through five games, I'm wildly impressed and excited about this season for Creighton. If you would have offered me 4-1 through five games, I would have taken that in a heartbeat. And I've been impressed with this group so far. I mean, Marcus Foster, in all reality, hasn't shot it well. Khyree Thomas been in foul trouble twice. Hagner's been out for a while. I think Toby could have helped last night. And they're 4-1, and they've looked great offensively. The two freshmen are playing great. Creighton's played three straight ranked opponents, and they've been in the lead and control of like 95% of those games.
And not only is it encouraging that they're 4-1 to start the year, but I said before the Northwestern game that I would leave these next three games against Northwestern and then the two in Kansas City, I would leave those games pretty encouraged if they left those 1-2.
Yeah.
Just get one of them.
This entire time, I kind of thought if Creighton can split in Kansas City and split the Gonzaga Northwestern games, to me, all things considered, I'd probably take that. And Creighton right now, 2-1 against their three big opponents. And I like what I've seen from this group so far. I really do. I really, really do. 402-951-1620. Man, there are a lot of things happening in the world of college football and with some of these coaching rumors and coaching situations that we're going to have to get everybody up to speed on. But let me set up the show for you real quick before we get off and run, because we are like, I don't know how I'm going to, but I got no choice. I got to try and get to everything today, but I'm not totally sure how I'm going to get to everything today. But I can't, this is going to be a good show. So
coming up on the program today, we got Scott Chanley at 11:30. We'll talk a little Nebraska football with Mr. Chanley. We got the mailbag, Smitty's Garage on the line. Your best email question is going to win lunch for four to Smitty's. Get your burger game right. And you email questions for me to Corey at 1620thezone.com. Best email question, going to win some lunch. And then we got Payne. Said, you know what? We got a bunch of big football games coming up. We're not going to be able to talk to him Thursday or Friday, so let's get him on. He's going to stop by at 1:15, and he is going to lay out his best bet lean of the week. We're going to talk a couple college games, a couple of NFL games, and he's going to drop some knowledge for us from a Vegas perspective. And then, of course, I got my Big Five. I got my official Nebraska-Iowa game prediction. We got tons of coaching rumors to discuss. So let's take a break and get this train rolling. And, of course, tons of room for you throughout the entire day. 402-951-1620. You can email the show, nick at 1620thezone.com. Or, of course, you can hit me on Twitter, at Nick Baugh. Some interesting things with Chip Kelly. We'll get you up to speed with. And then I also got to give some salutes to a handful of people. On the Nebraska football team, we'll do that as well. Game time.